Okay, everybody. It's 8:15 in LA. It's 5:15 p.m. in Berlin. And I think it's 10:15 in St. Louis, which means that it's time for the Squirrel News Podcast. This is the show that brings you news about solutions all over the world. It's about solutions journalism. I'm Ed Krasnick, a Jew in L.A. My partner is Jonathan Vitter, a German in Berlin. It's the only show where a Jew and a German come together to solve the world's problems. It's the only one. There's really only one, and it's called Squirrel News Podcast. Squirrel News is a constructive news app. It curates solutions journalism news stories from around the globe. These are stories about what's right with the world, what's working in the world. And you know what? There's a lot of these stories. You just don't see it because there's a belief, a mistaken belief, that conflict is what attracts people. No, not true. Actually, inspiration and people solving world's issues, solving social issues, that's what brings people together. And that's what you find. And you can find the app on Android and iPhones and everywhere. And you can also go to squirrel-news.net, squirrel-news.net, to get all of these amazing stories. And we're going to talk about, we have a great guest, the executive director of Pianos for People, an incredible program that's helping so many people through music and through a particular instrument, the piano, changing people's lives that wouldn't ordinarily be able to get access to these kinds of instruments. And it's made such a big impact. And it's so inspiring and uplifting on any note, on every note. Pianos for People. So Matt Brinkman is the executive director. We're going to talk to him in just a minute. But right now, it's time to meet a man who is really 98.6% solutions oriented. His body, his mind, it's really all about solutions with this man. He repels conflict. He inspires solutions. And he's the founder of the Squirrel News app. And that is Jonathan Vitter. Jonathan, it's been a few weeks. We're back. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, definitely, Ed. It's very nice always after these introductions. I feel very good.
Okay, I'm glad you do. I don't know. I'm still waking up, but I feel it. I feel it all. It's all happening. It's better than coffee, this show. And you are the person who you found out all about, as you do with so many stories through Squirrel News. How did you come to find out about Pianos for People, and how do you curate the stories for the Squirrel News app?
Yeah, I mean, we have a team of, especially in the English edition, we have a team of editors who are in charge of one day per week. We publish our issues on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and each editor is responsible for one issue. And then we discuss together which stories we are going to include and which order. And we found this, and it immediately struck me because I didn't know anything like that. And I'm a piano player myself, not a professional, but a very dedicated amateur, I immediately fell in love with the approach. And we're going to talk about how it works afterwards. But yeah, it immediately struck me. And I thought this is unique or pretty unique. And it probably has an enormous impact, because piano is a great instrument, but it's also, from the financial perspective, quite difficult to get one, right? It's also spatially, it's big, it's expensive, lessons are expensive, and so on. So it's something, it's a middle class or upper class instrument, not something you can just buy for five bucks around the corner. And as Matt's organization is trying to change that, I thought it's so important, yeah, that we included it. And we found a story about it in the Christian Science Monitor, where they regularly have solution stories. Yeah, and that's how we found out about it.
Well, it's fantastic. It's such a great program. Bringing music into people's lives, it's the great change maker. It changes everything when you bring music into your house and when you learn an instrument of any kind, but especially the piano. And let's bring Matt in and talk to him a little bit about how this all happened and what he's doing as executive director of the program. As I said, Pianos for People, based in St. Louis, is this organization that brings pianos to people, lower income families, people who would not ordinarily have access to this kind of instrument, and the education that goes with it, and the camps and the schools and all the programs that are run because of Pianos for People. We're going to find out how it all happened. It's been going on for a while now, but Matt Brinkman is here. Matt has a new microphone just for this show, so he's going to be singing, testing, and probably playing a lot of pieces for us. We didn't know that, but we're going to ask him. Matt, first of all, thanks for being on the show. And
you bet.
How does this change your life? How did you find the program, and how does it? What kind of an impact has it made on your life?
Well, the organization certainly has a great reputation here in the St. Louis area. So I had heard about it from years through, you know, involvement in various other arts organizations and in music and in nonprofit work. So so I had found out about it, you know, quite long ago, and just a great reputation that they have. Didn't realize, you know, until I was actually involved with the organization as the executive director, just how unique it really is. So I've really come to appreciate it a lot more now that I am so closely involved on a day-to-day basis.
Well, and I'm going to toss it to Jonathan in a second, but tell us a little bit about Pianos for People and what it does and what you do on a day-to-day basis.
So there are really several components to the work. It was started back in 2012 by a man named Tom Townsend and his wife, Jean. Tom was a piano player himself and just loved playing and had a son, Alex, who also just took to it and loved it and played for hours. And Tom really saw how it helped him just deal with, you know, the things that every kid deals with growing up and through adolescence and things. So Alex was away at school at the age of 21 and was killed in an automobile accident. Mm-hmm. So Tom and his wife, Jean, started the Alex Townsend Memorial Foundation. And one of the things that came out of that was the Pianos for People program. So initially, it was just saving old pianos that people didn't want anymore and giving them to families that wanted one and couldn't afford one. There is that alone would have been sufficient, you know, to keep folks busy for years. But a couple of years later, they realized that, you know, they really needed to start a free piano school, partly to increase the demand for all the pianos out there that are just not, you know, being played as much anymore. And also because, you know, people who can't afford a piano oftentimes, you know, wouldn't be able to afford lessons either to learn how to play if they would like to. So the schools were started in 2014. The first one opened that year. The second one opened 2 years later. And we now have over 200 students enrolled in our free piano schools and have given away, I believe it's currently over we're close to 350 pianos since beginning.
Amazing. And it really changes the story of people's lives, of how they live, of their mental health, all kinds of aspects of people, of families, of kids who are receiving these pianos. But there's a story behind every piano that gets donated, and every piano and where it comes from, it has its own story. It's very interesting to follow that too. So many things to talk about with this, but I'm going to throw it over to Jonathan. I know Jonathan has a number of questions to ask. And so, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, Jonathan Vitter.
It's just a couple of small questions. So how do you pick the families? What kind of criteria do you apply?
People can apply for a piano. We try to base everything that we do on income levels and requirements, you know, without getting into privacy issues. But we really want to target our time and resources and efforts toward those who need us the most. So that is part of the criteria. People can apply on our website to receive a free piano. People also apply on our website to donate a piano. So then it's just a matter of, you know, matching those folks up. Fortunately, we get offered enough pianos that we can actually be rather choosy about the ones that we take. We only take pianos that are in great shape and don't need any work. And generally, we transport them directly from the donor to the new home. This is just a way of saving our resources and making the most of our time and expenses and things like that. So, it is often an emotional thing, though, for someone to give up a piano. Oftentimes, it's the kind of thing that's been in a family for generations. It was passed down from grandparents, and, you know, nobody's really playing it anymore. So it's a wonderful feeling for people donating it to know that it's going to go somewhere where people are going to continue to use it and appreciate it and get all of the benefits from it that that anyone can get.
Has it always been that easy to find those people who donate the pianos, or was it difficult in the beginning?
At first, I imagine it was difficult. I wasn't part of things then, but I think it did take a while to catch on. But now we actually get offered more pianos than we can accept on a fairly regular basis. So, which is in some ways a nice problem to have, but in other ways, you know, it's always difficult having to turn a piano down that somebody really wants to give us. But it happens quite often. So, and that again goes back to part of why we started free piano schools, was to try to, you know, increase the demand. I mean, it's just one of those things that people aren't doing as much anymore. We get calls from a lot of real estate agents who have a piano in a home that they're selling. They need to get rid of it. It needs to be out by the end of the week. You know, they get rather desperate at times. So. Yeah. So there's a lot of that, but we're trying to create more of a balance and keep these wonderful instruments, you know, in use.
And what's the average age of the children who receive the pianos?
Well, any age can receive a piano. We have all ages attending our schools. I think that, you know, the bulk of our students are probably age 7 to about 13 or so. That's sort of, you know, the sweet spot. If we can catch kids at that age and inspire them and engage them, it can become a lifelong thing then. But really, any age can benefit from learning this. We've got more and more adult students, which is really rewarding to see. You know, so much scientific research is proving again and again how valuable learning an instrument and creating music can be for all of these other non-musical benefits, you know, that it just helps kids in school in so many ways. But a lot of the research is also now looking at adults and older adults in particular, and how much value and benefit there is to just continuing to acquire new skills and how much it helps our brains as we age.
Yeah. And do you also perceive this in practice when you talk to the families afterwards, or to the older people who start playing? What kind of feedback do you have? Does it confirm all that?
It's really fun to hear, and because it often comes in unexpected ways. You know, one of the things about a true acoustic piano, we do give some digital keyboards away to. Sometimes people are just in a living situation where they just need to be playing through headphones, or they're not, you know, they're in an upstairs apartment and just can't get a piano up there. So we do deal with some digital keyboards as well. But I think one of the joys of a real piano is that it's something that the whole family sort of shares in. They may or may not enjoy it at first when someone's learning how to play. Those mental benefits may not extend to everyone in earshot, but if we do hear that frequently, and a lot of times siblings will get interested, you know, from hearing an older brother or sister start to play. So that's always fun.
The people who've come through the program, do they stay involved? Do they become mentors to others? Do they teach kids in their families and other family members, et cetera? I'm sure that once you come through something like this, you take it on into your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, one of the really rewarding things lately is that the schools have been in operation long enough that we've got older students who we are now paying to come back as interns and assist the teachers with the group classes in particular, which is wonderful because it's a great experience for them. It inspires them to stay in the program. But it's also, you know, they serve as great role models for the younger kids. as you know, demonstrating their own skills and being proud of what they've learned over the past years. So, we've got a few Prodigy students as well who have actually become very serious about music and have pursued it through college. So we have fun, you know, tracking their stories and seeing what happens. You mentioned one of our students, Royce Martin, who did just graduate from Berklee College of Music. So we're really excited to see where his future takes him as a result of, you know, his experience at Pianos for People. But really, it's just about, you know, helping people deal with things in their lives. We don't expect every student to become a prodigy. It's really not a competitive environment. It's just more about helping them, you know, just improve whatever they want to do with their lives and just making it more enjoyable and just allowing them to focus better. Every student comes with different individual needs. You know, some kids are not doing poorly in school, and we try to help them with their grades. Some are doing great in school and just need to learn more social skills and self-confidence. So we try to individualize the approach that way.
Social skills and self-confidence. I mean, this seems to be an organization that could be connected to so many other organizations: mental health, community service, prisons. All kinds of places where people don't have access to music, or certainly to learning something like playing music. Is the program involved with those kind of organizations, and how does that all go? It seems like it could be part of a huge ecosystem of change.
Exactly. And that is really what we are trying to do more of as we look to, you know, how to best grow the organization in the future is, you know, we're kind of up to capacity in our two school facilities that we operate. So we're looking more at partnerships with, you know, there's so many other great organizations and agencies out there that do after school programming and summer programming for youth and, you know, programming for senior adults and things like that. So that's really our strategy for the future, is to partner up with more organizations, bring our unique area of expertise to what they are doing and incorporate it into a more holistic approach for just improving the lives of people who are underserved.
And have you ever thought about doing it with other instruments? I mean, guitars, for example, would be even easier, I guess.
Yeah, we're pretty much sticking to the piano because it's kind of our unique area. But yeah, there are other organizations doing things like that with other instruments, with just music ensembles and things. So we're always looking for ways to see where we fit into that ecosystem, as you called it, and just create a full picture for those folks.
Do people come in and do concerts at your school, or do they do shows or local musicians, or even I'm thinking about, you know, celebrated musicians like Alicia Keys and people of that nature? Are they aware of this program? And I think if they were aware of it, they'd want to participate in some way.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to do that. We used to have master classes, you know, for our more advanced students, and we're trying to get back to that now. It's one of those post-COVID things that kind of got put on hold for a couple of years. But yeah, we're always welcoming professionals. We have an annual fundraising event of our own in October of each year, which, again, we haven't, you know, been able to do to its full scale the last couple of years. But we have professional musicians come and perform. And yeah, any opportunity that we get to expose our students to the pros who can come in and share their love of the instrument and their love of music and their own unique area, of expertise, it's inspiring for them to see what we're doing. But it's certainly a valuable thing for our kids as well.
And are there other organizations who do the same thing with pianos, maybe in other states or cities?
It seems to be very few and far between. There are a few out there that do handle pianos in various capacities. A lot of them will charge people, you know, to take the piano.
Yeah.
There are some organizations that take the pianos and then sell them and raise the money to do other things, which we have not done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting after after all the national publicity we received last year, starting with that Christian Science Monitor, and then there was an article in the Washington Post, and then we were featured on the NBC Nightly News in November and ABC World News Tonight in December. After all of that, we got a lot of inquiries from around the country, people would call us from New Jersey trying to give us a piano, or just asking, most people just asking, is there an organization near me who does what you're doing in St. Louis, or would you like to come here and do that here? So, which is very flattering. And that's where we really found out, you know, just how unique it is that we're not just doing pianos, but also the free piano school. So we don't have any plans to expand out of the St. Louis area, but we are perfectly happy to serve as a model for anybody who wants to duplicate our efforts elsewhere.
Is it just for kids, or would you teach parents? I know that you teach different ages. How does that work?
Yeah, no, we love to teach parents and kids as well. I'm trying to do more of that kind of thing and figure out how to set up family classes and things of that nature. The adults, it's really rewarding, you know, to have an increase in adult students in all ages. As I said, it's kind of 7 to 13 years is kind of the majority of our kids. And then they start to fall off a little at that 13-year-old. So we're trying to keep kids in through their teen years, you know, which, as you know, are so critical just in youth development. And they're making some key decisions that could go good or could go bad. So it's kind of a pivotal moment in their lives where we try to stick with them. But yeah, any ages, we love having parents involved. Sometimes kids get involved first and then encourage their parents to get in, which we love to see.
Yeah, Matt, I was going to ask you, are there favorite songs that come through, or are there certain songs that people want to learn, and how do you go about figuring out which pieces of music you're going to approach? Is it pop music? Is it hip hop? Is it jazz? Is it how is that figured out?
Well, that's part of the fun of how we run the school is, I mean, we do try to start out beginners with the basics. Obviously, they need to, you know, learn some very basic things first and some method books and just music theory in general. But as soon as we can, we try to individualize the approach and get them one-on-one with a private instructor. And then, yeah, we do encourage them to think about what they would like to play, what songs they listen to, what they hear on the radio. And our instructors are great about working with them on, you know, and it may not be something that's actually on a piano, but they can certainly pick up a melody line here and there. And anything we can do to inspire them or just to motivate them to realize that they can play things that they hear. So that's a lot of the fun.
And how much of it is playing by ear as opposed to learning to read music?
Well, we really don't have a set curriculum. We try to individualize the approach because we don't have a set, you know, musical competitive goal that everybody is trying to reach together. We want this to be about whatever it takes to inspire these kids, to get them to enjoy music and just experience what it's like to create it. So so we also, you know, we work with a lot of kids who just, I mean, I was one of those musicians who really struggled to read music. I was never really good at that. I got much better at music when I started playing by ear. So we recognize that, and some kids are like that. Some of them really rely on the music and they need to have it in front of them at all times. But others get better when they can just hear things and play. And so we've started teaching an improvisation class, which is really fun for the, you know, more advanced kids, just to realize, you know, you can just do this on your own. You don't necessarily have to be reading music. Whatever it takes to keep them engaged in the process is what we're trying to do.
Are you connected to choirs at all? Or do people, I know that there are community choirs all over the world, and that's another way that people come together. I'm guessing also that people create friendships, that they find friends in the school and people. I wonder if the donors of the pianos, are they involved as well? Do they come back?
Yeah, we definitely try to keep in touch with all of those folks. Choirs is a great idea. We're looking to expand into more areas like that. Certainly donors of pianos, keep them engaged. We let them know about, you know, where their piano went, what kind of a student that is, and how much it's benefiting for people. We try to keep a community. It's an interesting thing because, you know, the piano is sort of becomes a solitary instrument. We do have group classes, which are kind of fun. You know, if you can imagine, you know, 8-7-year-olds banging on pianos at the same time. But eventually it becomes a solitary thing. It's a one-on-one kind of a thing with an instructor. So it's a little challenging to create a community out of that, but we certainly have done that. Just our parents connecting with each other. They all have common goals for their children. You know, a lot of the children who love music may not have many friends who do. So they connect with like-minded kids here. certainly, sort of becomes part of their tribe. So we've established a great community here. We have public community music events that sort of reinforce that and get the word out so people can see how much fun we're having here. And anything just to give these kids, something positive and constructive to do.
Before we let you go, just one last question, and that is, do you have a favorite song or a favorite piece of music or something? Are you a good shower singer? What is happening in your life musically?
I do play piano. I love playing it. I'm pretty much self-taught. I'm just lucky that I was able to do that. My actual music background, I played tuba for many years through school and a brass band, believe it or not. So, which is always fun every once in a while to bring out and add to a piano class when kids are least expecting it. I've loved music all my life. I, just love the chance to hear these kids come in every afternoon for their lessons. It's a real treat to be here and be part of this and just experience that along with them and hear them develop their skills over, over months of practice and work.
I'm expecting to hear about a program called Tubas for People.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe I suggested it in my job interview. Fortunately, it was well received. But that's as far as it's gone so far. But thank you for bringing that up.
Tubas for People. Look out for it. Well, we cannot thank you enough. What a great thing to talk to you. I love this program. We should definitely, Matt Brinkman, we cannot thank you enough for doing this. This program is amazing. And correct me if I'm wrong, people need to go to pianosforpeople.org. Is that right, to learn more?
That is correct. And of course, as a nonprofit organization, we don't charge anything for these services. So this is all based on getting donations and grants. So
it's fantastic. Change your life, change people's lives through music, mental health, especially now. No matter what corner of the world you're in, you can get involved with pianosforpeople.org. Thanks to Matt Brinkman. Thanks to Jonathan Vitter. Things are looking up. Look for the good and find us wherever you get your podcasts. And for all stories that are solutions journalism, solutions-based stories about what's right with the world, go to squirrel-news.net, squirrel-news.net. I'm Ed Krasnick for Jonathan Vitter. We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.